Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right. Well, first half, we get into tequila, and we taste tequila, and we get into all kinds of tequila. And Dan Dunn, who's an expert, is in here, and we all sample it. And I think when you're done listening, you'll want some tequila, but you'll also announce that you know more about tequila than you ever could have imagined. So that's coming up in 1 second. First, betonline.ag, summer action. It's here now. MLB, big UFC fights coming around the corner. Only 2 weeks away from NFL preseason. Is that true? Oh, God, this is good. Only one place that has you covered. And it's the only place we trust, betonline.ag. You can sign up today, free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. I got to tell you, UFC is fun to watch. UFC 240 is coming up. I put a little something-something on some of the guys and make it that much more enjoyable. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code podcast1 or text BETNOW to 238669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, political consultant Mike Murphy. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and spirits expert Dan Dunn guides us through a tequila taste test. And now, he's also against family separation, specifically when he's separate from his family doing stand-up all weekend while they're in Vegas eating sushi. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Man, get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. See, those ratings go up every week, so we thank you for that. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
You're a bum.
Wow, heckling out
strong
of gates.
Words.
I want to thank Rocket Mortgage and BetOnline.ag, Team Counseling, and Geico for sponsoring this half of the show. Our old friend Dan Dunn is back in studio. What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's available on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, and The Imbiber. And you can shoot him a tweet at The Imbiber. Dan and I go way back, and I've done his pod many times. He's done this many times. I think I read your very good book several years ago.
Most of them are good.
Most of them are good. I'm trying to think of the first one I read.
The first one was Nobody Likes Quitter. I don't recommend it. Living Loaded was the one I think you probably read.
We made
a TV pilot about that. It didn't go.
It's a very strong piece
funny.
Of people
Thank
are interested
you.
In looking that up. Now, we were talking about tequila in shows past, and we were talking about the difference between tequila and mezcal and how tequila has made a comeback mm-hmm. and how mezcal has made a comeback and that people are sipping tequila versus doing shots of tequila. I think when I was coming up, tequila is something you'd mix into a drink or you'd do a shot of it, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't just pour it on the rocks and sip on it. Mezcal was confusing to me because when I used to, yeah, well, you go to Margarita's Village and they
force feed you like a goose.
It's insane. I mean, no wonder I threw up in their ice maker. But, I mean, they come up behind you and they do the slammer where they slam it on the table and they shake it in your face. Gina, you'd hate it.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It's assault.
They yeah. force it down your mouth and they shake your head vigorously, vigorously. It's like a throw-up factory. It's like they're trying to get their customers to yak.
Yeah, the aggravation, the shaking takes up from like 80 proof to like 110 proof.
Oh, my God.
It makes it stronger.
Oh, my God. I've been traumatized. Like an NFL lineman. That's what happened. When they dissect my brain, they'll go, oh, he went to Margarita's Village in Tijuana? We see the dark part of his brain? Yeah, that's
see
from the
that
guy
damage?
Dressed up as the old-timey prisoner wearing the stripes and the roller skates when he came up behind him and he blew the whistle and he slammed the popper down and then shot the tequila. I will tell you that place, I guess it's still there. I don't know. I know they don't have a form of government in Mexico, so these places are allowed to exist forever.
There's a dozen of those places. I was there when I was 20.
OSHA would shut these places down immediately. The thing about Margarita's Village is the four of us could be sitting there, and Dan, you could order tequila, and Brian could get tea, I could get tea. And then Gina could go, I'm not a tequila gal. I'm not much of a drinker. I'm really just going to have a thimble of Manischewitz. I had a long night last night. I have a very important presentation to give later on this afternoon to the Tijuana Chamber of Commerce.
I can't make this clearer.
Right. And I just, nothing yeah. for me. And I'd go, okay, I respect that. And then I'd go, I got to go to the bathroom. And then I would just get up and I'd go find one of the guys dressed up as a rodeo clown. And I'd go, see the chick with the triple D's over there?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah.
The nervous
go,
one?
Give her double popper tequila shot. And they go, that one? And they go, yep. And that would be it. The guy would come up behind you. He'd grab your head.
No.
He'd force your forehead back. He'd blow his whistle. He'd
Not
slam
again.
The thing on the thing. And he would force it.
There's
and then
no
he would
escape.
Shake your
There's
head
no escaping
it.
That. You can't get away
That's
from
that.
It.
That's
yeah. that. Well, I think the main thing they're doing down there is they're trying to distract you from how shitty the tequila they're pouring down your gullet
is. It doesn't work.
Maybe if we assault them, they
if
won't
we
notice.
They strangle you
right.
and shake you vigorously.
How bad this shit is. Yeah.
So when I was confused because we'd go down there and we'd get mezcal, but we called it mezcal tequila with the worm in it.
Okay.
But Brian has informed me that mezcal and tequila are two different things.
No, that's not true.
No.
No, Brian. What the fuck?
How dare I?
Yeah. Okay. All tequila is mezcal. Okay. Mezcal mm-hmm. is the oldest spirit in the Americas. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's made from agave. All of it is tequila, mezcal. Tequila is a specific category of mezcal. So it's very similar to whiskey. If whiskey's the umbrella, then you've got bourbon, you've got scotch, you've got Canadian whiskey. They're all whiskeys. They're different categories. So the easiest way to do it is this. Tequila is made from generally, except if it's a mixto tequila, from one strain of agave. Mm-hmm. Agave is the plant. Mm-hmm. And that's called a Weber agave or a blue agave. That's what they make tequila from. mezcal can be made from all sorts of different varieties of agave. For the most part, it's the stuff you're going to get here is going to be made from about 20 to 40 different types of agave plants that they use to make mezcal. The main difference in the production, and I had actually heard you talking about it, and why is mezcal smoky? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you take the agave, that's the plant, that's the starch, that's the starting point. In most tequilas, after they harvest the agave, they have to cook it to prepare it for fermentation. They put it in an oven, they steam it for the most part, or they bake it in an oven. That's how they make tequila. Mezcal is generally produced by smaller family production. You know, they take it, they put it in a pit in the ground mm-hmm. with lava rocks and charcoal and wood, and they bury it with dirt. And that's mm-hmm. how they cook it in the ground. And it's this intense smoking that it's getting under there. And that's where the flavor of mezcal generally comes from. Where you're seeing that difference between tequila and mezcal, it comes from that step in the process, because after that, it's mostly the same. Mm. They crush it up, they ferment it, they distill it in copper pot stills for the most part with tequila and mezcal.
So you can't say mezcal tequila.
You can. You can say it. Yeah. You can get away with it.
This is what we're totally different things. So, like I said,
about.
Tequila,
yeah. Anyway.
Where tequila really came into its own was probably, let's go 1600s after Cortez came over and said, you know, we're going to take Mexico mm-hmm. from the Aztecs. After the Spanish invaded Mexico, the Aztecs were drinking something called pulque, okay, mm-hmm. which was the agave, it was just fermented like beer. Mm-hmm. And it's this milky, and you can still get pulque down there.
Do you like it?
No, not particularly. No. It's hard to find really good pulque. So they wanted something stronger, the Spanish. And so then they figured out to distill the pulque, and that's where mezcal came from. And then about the late 1800s, they were finding out that a lot of the best agave was in the tequila. Tequila is a place, okay? It's about an hour and a half east or west of Guadalajara. They were getting really good agave plants there. So some enterprising people started going, we should have our own thing. Mm-hmm. We should have this our own thing and call it tequila. So really around the late 1800s is when the word tequila started to appear and that category started to come around. And mezcal, honestly, has only gotten its own denomination of origin in 2005.
Is this on the rise as we're talking about things like rye? Got hip again. Gin got hip again. Is the tequila or sipping the tequila or mezcal, what have you? Is that on the rise now?
100%. You know, look, with a lot of those old spirits, prohibition essentially killed everything, right? It rearranged everything, certainly. And a lot of those things that were popular before prohibition, gin, rye was the most consumed. That all kind of went away. Okay.
Did they ever have any prohibition in Mexico?
No.
Come on.
I was going to say.
There are no stupid questions, but that was fucking stupid.
No, what I'm saying is drugs are illegal in Mexico. I mean,
I think it's on the flag, actually, I'm pretty sure.
What I'm saying is you could declare booze is illegal, they would just make booze. Right. They make a lot of declarations. I think they have speed limits and everything over there.
Yeah, well, look at that, Chris. Can you look that up?
Nothing's enforced, but they do have rules.
Sure.
Now, I guess Canada didn't, and that's why, I don't know, that's where like the Kennedys come in or something, bringing booze in from Canada.
No prohibition in Mexico. I mean, look, here in the States, what happened is the same thing that happened with vodka. You had shit tequila, Adam, the stuff that you were probably drinking when you were younger. It was kind of shitty tequila, and then along came Patron. Patron was kind of, just like Absolut was kind of that first.
Right.
Patron came along, and people started going, this actually tastes pretty good.
When I was a kid, you know, high school, I was going to say college, high school construction. If you were drinking gold tequila, it was a big deal. Like that was the Mason-Dixon line. Like if the glass was bottle glass, and you couldn't squeeze it, and it was gold in color, that was a big step up. Like Cuervo gold in a glass bottle was a deal for us.
Yeah, and that was obviously a missed gold. People say, it's got to be better than the bronze shit, right? You know, gold just meant that was a mixto tequila. That wasn't even a 100% agave. So it's 51% blue agave and then whatever other shit they could put in there that's real cheap.
So I feel like we're way from the gold now and back to the clear stuff.
Okay, so I brought some stuff with me today, and we'll go through these. And I brought all good stuff. And here's why you you have Blanco tequila, the category Blanco, Reposado, Añejo. All that means is Blanco is not aged at all, but if it is aged, it's got to be less than 2 months in the barrel. Mm-hmm. Reposado, which means rested, is 2 months to a year. Mm-hmm. If it's aged that long. So you're going to get a little bit of color in there with the Reposado. Añejo is anything from a year to 3 years, and then you get into the extra Añejo and all that. Personally, I drink tequila because I like the taste of the agave. I like the taste of tequila. I don't like the wood influence necessarily. I'm not saying there aren't aged tequilas that I don't appreciate, of course. But if I'm going to drink an aged spirit, I'd rather have whiskey. You know, mm-hmm. I'd rather have an old scotch. I'd rather have some bourbon. So I generally drink Blancos or silver, you can call it as well, because you're just getting the pure expression of the agave without any wood influence.
So it's not like wine, like the older the better. Necessarily.
Not necessarily. That's not always the case with wine either. But yeah, exactly. Like
it has more cachet, you know.
All that color is in any spirit is the wood. It's absorbing the wood into the spirit. Okay. And the longer that goes, the more the wood influence takes over, which is generally a good thing with whiskey. And I'm not saying it's bad in tequila, but that's not why I drink tequila. I drink tequila because I like to taste the agave.
And he wants to forget.
And to forget.
Can we taste some of this?
Yeah.
So, and we're also kind of in the Casamigos. Was that the stuff we're talking about with Clooney?
Yeah. Like
someone was explaining it was smoother, it was better. I don't know it. I've not drank a lot of tequila in just a sort of sipping.
Yeah.
These days. So I don't really have a
phenomenon.
I couldn't tell you what was better and what was.
And we're tasting in fancy tequila glasses that look like sort of like champagne flutes. That's really kind of the way to taste tequila. So you can get it on the nose. These are not tequilas we're going to shoot. Okay. You could. Right.
You got it, Brian?
You could shoot. Look, Brian.
Oh, now you tell him.
It's glowing. Did you get any? Who else needs some?
I need just a taste.
Okay. Dan, my wife swears by Casamigos. She's not. She hasn't tried a ton, but she loves it.
So here's the deal with Casamigos.
The Blanco.
I don't know how much of the lore you know. It's like George and Clooney and Randy Gerber bought houses next door to each other in Cabo, and they call the whole complex Casamigos. Okay. Mm-hmm. The houses are their buddies, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So they did that, and they couldn't find a tequila they liked, which I thought is always a funny part of the story.
I do. They always tell that story.
If George Clooney.
I looked at Ferrari. I looked at Lamborghini. I looked at Tesla. I couldn't find a car that suited my needs.
Yeah.
So I invented this shitbox that I'm selling. Like, really? The McLaren wasn't good enough for you?
I
think what really happened is they were sitting around drinking tequila, and they went, you know what? We should do our own tequila.
Yeah, why aren't we getting paid?
Fuck not, because we can do whatever we want. So, and I think Clooney was having all that success with Nespresso.
Right.
So it's like,
mm-hmm.
he was such a big pitch man on that. It's like, what else can I sell? So they make this. It is a really good tequila, Casamigos. That was in 2013, I guess they got it going. And obviously everybody knows the famous story. 5 years later, they sold it for $1 billion to Diageo. And now what they've done is they've spawned, like, you can't, I don't think there are many celebrities left who aren't trying to do their own spirits brand at this point.
Well, that's why I had the thought earlier that spirits are the new real estate. People are going into this business instead of property.
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, it's not going to happen for everybody, certainly.
This is good sipping.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
right?
It smells, it's got nice notes. It smells kind of vanilla.
We fast forward to the end of the tasting. This is delicious. I love you guys so much.
It's nice. I get a vanilla kind of a vibe to it.
It's sweet, juicy.
It's nice to sip. It's not aggressive.
Oh, man. It's really, it's a really smooth tequila. Mm. And look, now Diageo owns it. So what you're going to get is a big, it's all going to be consistency. Mm. You're never going to get this and have any variation in the taste of it, okay? Which is not necessarily going to be the case with a couple of these other ones we're going to try. Because that's what it's all about. When people are buying Casamigos, when you go in there, just like you're calling Patron or you're calling Don Julio, mm-hmm. there's a certain expectation with those brands that it's going to taste exactly
the way
every single time I get it. And in this case, what you're getting, I think, again, it's a very smooth. I'm getting a little pineapple note,
a
tropical fruit sort of thing going on as well. But it's
now, this is not aged. This is a silver.
Nothing.
We're
talking this is Blanco tequila, not aged at all, and it has George Clooney's signature on it, which makes
you know
it
it's
worth
good.
Buying.
Yeah,
you know.
Also, Gerber and Cindy Crawford, better looking couple than Clooney and his wife, which
you
is
it's
kind of insane statistically, right?
Yeah. It does.
We could, like their combined score is a little higher
Clooney
than Clooney and his super hot wife.
Like Clooney's the anchor.
Usually, you know who the celebrity couple is in the group.
Yeah.
This is interesting scoring. Like if you just took Clooney's number and Amel or whatever name Amel, is, you took that number and you put it with his and
Cindy
hers,
and Randy,
they'd be edged out. That's crazy.
So years ago, when I had the show on Sirius, they pitched. This is when this first came out. So they came to me and they said, "Would you have them on the show, George and Randy?" And I said, "Great, yeah, well, cool. Well, I have George Clooney on my show, my new show, yeah, of course."
Right.
So they set this whole thing up to Randy's place up in Malibu. He's got a bar up there in Malibu.
You got the Sklar brothers.
About two,
the third one, George, you never heard of, and then there's Randy.
About 2 hours before the taping, the publicist hits me up and says, "Oh, George isn't going to be able to make it.
What?
But Randy will be there." And I immediately was like, "You're full of shit. He was never coming." Yeah. No, he was coming. He was. But fortunately, I got there and we were doing it in this booth, and Cindy Crawford showed up and she sat, you know, about 15 feet away from us. And I swear I couldn't focus on doing the show with him. And I almost just was going, can she come over? Blake, can she just talk to us? Because she's so...
She's Cindy Crawford.
She's for me, my generation, like she was everything. Like that was the prettiest woman in the world.
And stunning. Yes.
And George Clooney fucked me. So not
out of the two.
Not
in
the legit, not literally, but yeah. Okay. So this is the Casamigos. You guys digging this?
This is so good. I don't want to pour this out.
Delicious. This is really nice.
Yes, it's so good.
Well,
the news is gonna be awesome.
I'm gonna leave the bottle for you. Mm-hmm. There we go. So
that is nice.
Okay. So what I also wanted to do is bring along something that's newer. That's kind of an unusual one that
I'm having a very emotional mixed feeling about dumping what's left of this in this
Man.
Cup.
Can we get a little funnel and put it back in the bottle?
Yeah.
No one cares
about
that. Get a funnel.
Yeah.
Get Kalen.
Just pour it all into one cup.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I wish I thought of that.
That is good.
Chris. Son of a bitch.
That's right.
I never liked you in the first place.
You know what your problem is.
Man, and also I'm thinking that, you know, when you order a margarita and you go, yeah, whatever, put whatever in it, but this would help.
That's a good question for Dan. So Dan, if we're getting mixed drinks, margaritas, whatever, do we go with the good stuff or is there sort of a baseline, just put whatever in it or not whatever, like obviously you don't put rot gut tequila, but is there sort of a baseline, just do this?
I would think most bartenders, one of the, I guess, points of the thing that they laugh about a lot would be when people order Cadillac margaritas.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
The expensive liquor with
the citrus in the margarita is usually so overwhelming that it's just not worth it. You know, like just get a basic. I'm not saying get, you know.
Hornitos?
Hornitos is probably right down there. Yeah. I mean, you can get a decent tequila, you know, something you don't need to get an añejo tequila, which is what they generally put in Cadillac margaritas. It's not the drink I would do if I was going to, you know, if you want to have tequila cocktails, because it's, again,
go middle of the road.
Citrus is so overwhelming in that drink and it's, So don't spend a lot of money getting a fancy tequila in a margarita. Okay, so are you really funneling in here?
I'm ready for my next.
Okay, here. All right, we got the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll funnel.
Wait, I'm
the
trying
show.
To get rid of the rest of the.
Don't mix it.
Jim, keep your eye on the Casamigos.
God, that stuff tastes good.
Pass it on.
Okay, so this is going to be a tequila called Session. Okay, which has been started. They actually launched it in Australia back in 2015. Just came to the States about 6 months ago, and it's a different. It's got. Well, I want you to try it. It's going to be a different flavor than Casamigos, but I tend to like.
Ooh.
I tend to like.
Brian, please.
Very sweet nose.
It's got a sweet nose.
Yeah.
So do you, Brian.
Hey, thank you.
I wish it was brown.
Damn, you got a sweet ass too. Oh no, the tequila is starting to get to me.
You were talking about tequila.
It's very dessert-y.
But then when you taste it, it's got the pepper on it. You get that little pepper on there.
That was a surprise.
And so when I first had it, I was like, but it this one to me has a complexity to it that I think you don't see that I'm not getting in a lot of tequilas because they're made to be unobtrusive.
Is there anise in this?
Isn't that right? You're getting that? I don't know where they're getting that from, because they're not infusing it with it.
So it smells fruity and nice, and
it's got a licorice-y taste.
And it's got a it's got this,
but it's got a little peppery bite to it.
It's got
it's nice.
Again, sesión I think means session, so the whole idea behind it is it's like a session drinking tequila. But what I think why I was drawn to this one is because I think it works. It brings some interesting things to a drink that you might not get with, again, with Casamigos. Very smooth, easy sipping. This one is a little bit challenging in a way, but I like it.
Do we do it over ice? Do we chill it? How does that work?
I would say any way you like to drink it. And most people, I think I've met so many distillers and people that own brands, and they all tell me the same thing. There's no wrong way to drink. And anybody that's telling you there's a wrong way, they should, you know,
pound sand.
Well, you know, you've gone to bars where they look at you askance when you order something. So it's like, hey, man, I'm paying for this. This is how I like it. So serve it to me.
There used to be rules with drinking scotch and whiskey and things and neat and don't add water and don't add rocks. And now they've sort of done away with all the rules. Just went however you like it.
You
can add water to it.
So
that's
much
fine.
Money now. Because now when you go into the bar, you're paying $18 for the fucking drink. So they're like, how do you want it? Sure.
Just the experts are now saying, if you want to put a little water in with your scotch, go ahead. That's up to you. That's fine.
Well, not only do you want to, for the most part with scotch, I find that the water, I always recommend just trying it. But the water, a couple of drops of water, and almost every, like some of the, Dave Stewart from the Balvenie, for instance, who's like one of the legends of the industry, always puts a couple of drops of water in a scotch. It opens it up. And you can do the same thing with tequila. Any spirit, all it is, it's got water infused in it. And if you add a little more water, sometimes it helps you identify the flavors better. Because it's
overwhelming.
Well, it mitigates the alcohol a little bit. And that's, the alcohol sometimes overwhelms you, you know, especially if you're getting into high proof. I mean, this one here is 40% for the Sesión, 40% for the Casamigos. That's generally where you're going to get tequila at 40.
What's the price point on this when you just pour it?
This one, the Sesión, I think is about $45. Same thing for Casamigos, right in that range.
I'd recommend this. What do you think? For someone who said, I don't really like tequila, I'd be like, well, try this.
Yeah, it's not traditional.
It's not what you're expecting.
It's a different – exactly right, because there's a certain aftertaste that I think everybody experiences with tequila. It's – I would describe it as almost like a nuttiness to it with tequila that you don't get with this. And some people don't like that tequila aftertaste, and you're not getting it with this one. But so,
yeah.
If you're not a normal tequila drinker and you want to try something different, I say try this one. All right.
We're going to mark these cups.
Yeah. Give me a Sharpie.
Booze and porn are the two things
just
I
can't
don't
wait.
Throw
can
away.
I just dump, yeah. Can I just dump it?
Childhoods,
back in here?
Careers,
sure.
No problem.
By all means,
booze
take
and porn.
This is the Sesión.
I'm pouring back into the bottle here. Right, give me your glasses. We'll just do it.
It's all collected for you.
All right, we can do it after during the break.
We'll do it later. You,
and
you
listen,
sure
hey, if people, if you're listening right now and you're planning on drinking, pull over.
Yes. Or slow down at least.
Yeah, just
slow
take your foot off the pedal
and set the cruise control to 25.
And by the way, I kind of get jaded the longer I've been doing this, but I was really excited when you guys approached me about doing this one, because these are just brands that I love, and I really do love tequila, and it's an exciting thing. And this one in particular is called Fortaleza. Okay,
price point
Fortaleza, probably about $50. Yeah, $50 for this. I'm going to go and say, if you were to ask me if I can only take one bottle of tequila with me on the desert island, this is the one.
Okay.
Right here. So Fortaleza is an interesting story. The family is one of the oldest families. The guy's name is Guillermo Sauza. We know that name.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And Guillermo founded Fortaleza Tequila. The Sauza family and the Cuervo, what do you call it? Family that owned Cuervo, they feuded back in the mid-20th century, hated each other, and it ended up being this through a long series
of
events.
Tequila families feud, like, well, I challenge you to a duel about not at first.
At some point
not
between
at first
the hours of
goddamn
2 and
light,
4.
That's for goddamn sure. I got such a headache. But around... When to the street? Do we have street lights?
I wouldn't know. I'm usually passed out by sundown.
All right, Pat. All right, noonish, but let's say more like 2 p.m.
All right, noonish. You meet your fate, amigo.
That's right.
So
I like the Patron guy because he got into drag racing and all kinds of racing. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're talking about John Paul DiGiurio?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's Paul Mitchell.
I know.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Whose lipstick is on this
guy? The guy who started Patron, John Paul DiGiurio, started Paul Mitchell.
I know. The guy was living in his car.
Yeah, crazy. And then, by the way, everybody talks about Clooney and Casamigos. Do you know what they just sold Patron to Bacardi for? $5 billion.
Billion?
$5 billion.
With an M?
Billion.
No, that guy does drag racing. He does funny car stuff. He does endurance stuff. He has cars at Le Mans. Like, he was a guy who lived in his car. I mean, I guess he lived in his car. Maybe he lived in Jules' car with her back in the day.
The van. And I think Jim Carrey was in there, too.
The three of them shared a van. And then he got into the Paul Mitchell hair care stuff.
That Paul Mitchell.
That guy.
That's him.
Then he got into the Patron, and now with a B, $5 billion.
$5 billion.
And his daughter became like the Top Fuel national champion or whatever in funny cars.
I did not see that coming.
In order to run a funny car team a year for like a season, it's, you know, $150 million or something, like a new engine every race and in the whole nine yards. So he funded that whole thing, and his daughter became this crazy champion. And now he does all motor racing
stuff.
It's
going to be pretty rare, right? The female auto racing champion?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, the thing about women in auto racing, in the quarter mile, which is actually, I think, 1,000 feet, they shortened it a little bit. But in the quarter mile, it's just about reaction time. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, arguably a little bit lighter than John Force is. You know, some of these guys are a little heavy around the haunches. And it's pretty much about car prep. You get it pointed in that straight line. If you've got the huevos, pardon the pun, to just stomp on it and go for it, the chicks are just as fast.
That's great.
Ask Shirley Chachamel down.
That's the name of my next book.
This is a tough one, Dan.
The chicks are just as fast. This has a bit of an aftertaste, but I assume it's for the acquired advanced
So this is, yeah, okay, if you were to go to the elite craft bartenders, almost everybody's going to have this in their top three, okay. Fortaleza. Guillermo, the guy who runs the company, is really like the most interesting man. He is a bad ass guy. Like, he's this kind of guy, you look at him, you go, I don't want to mess with him. He started this brand, I guess, 1995. They got, or 2000, I don't know, dates, or we may have some more tequila. But this one, to me, what are you getting, Adam, first? No, I'm going to just mimic whatever you say.
This is a taller order in terms of, I don't think this is for the novice.
I feel like
there's more going on here. And if you're one of these people that likes, you know, your grape sodas and your cotton candy flavored vodkas and stuff, this one's going to put a puss.
Yeah,
you're going to put a puss on when you taste this. But I think for a palate that's a little more advanced and used to that, you know that out of the yummy phase of life where everything doesn't need to be sweet and popcorn shrimp and everything.
You've tried all that's keyless. You want the next level.
This is very interesting. So there's a lot going in the opposite of the Casamigos. Like a Casamigos is like, you know,
it's an easy drinking tequila.
Yeah, when I go home with my 13-year-old son, we're going to sit around and drink that. It'll go down easy.
So it's the difference between, like, if we were having scotch and I said, you know what, I'm going to give you a 10-year-old Talisker, which is a scotch that's, you know, versus an Octomore, which has a ton of peat on it. Some people are going to taste that Octomore and go, I can't, you know. But once you've developed the palate for scotch, it gets to the point where, like, I don't want this bland. I want something that's good. And that's where Fortaleza is. And I think Fortaleza has, you said it, Adam, has a lot of complexity to it. It has a lot. This is a drink. You're going to find this if you go to some of the higher end cocktail bars. They're going to be making cocktails with this.
This would add a lot to whatever it entered. And this is, again, like, not for the faint of heart, not for the lightweights. And this is for the people who know tequila.
Who know tequila. And that's, about the best
way
to describe it.
I'm curious, Max Batta, the one part I think we've missed out on this whole thing is everything is amazing. Do we have just sort of the cheap Cuervo whatever in the back somewhere there?
So, yeah.
Can we tell the difference?
Ah. I just want a little nip, not now at the end. Just I want a little compare. Nip just to figure out how far we've come.
Oh, you're going to see such a, I mean, the stuff that you're buying in the liter bottle, you know, down at the
the diesel fuel?
Like Kirkland tequila, right. You know, like it's going to be you're going to see a big drop.
Well, it's from the Kirkland region of Mexico. So you're
but again, if you're having authentic. If you're having a party and you're making margaritas, buy that shit. By all means, don't waste this in that. You
right.
Know, that's
all
not
right,
what
Gene,
you
I'm
going to
hand this.
Oh yeah.
Back
right.
To
so
you.
Now
this
we're going to
kind of floral.
It's great. I mean, I just this is
it's the most. It has the most. It tastes the most like alcohol to me out of the three, which is not a knock. It's just got it's got an alcohol flavor to it, whereas the others were more.
Anyone
more,
else got an olive aftertaste?
Stuff.
I got an olivey aftertaste.
I got that. But
it could be the tumor.
Yeah.
Let's check the
I
growth.
Smell, I is smell burning of, onions.
Is it kind of mercurial?
Dawson, get my feeler gauge. I'm going to check that tumor out.
Oh, okay. Save the best
so
for last.
So this is exciting. Now,
ooh, la, la.
Now we're going to move into some mezcal. Okay. First off, so everybody knows, all tequila, mezcal, all tequila is mezcal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But not all mezcal is tequila. This is the one here, Del Maguey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is kind of the mezcal that started mezcal in the United States. A guy named Ron Cooper, who's an artist from here, from Southern California. Back in 1970, Ron took a trip across Mexico with some buddies, like a surf trip, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Got in a fucking Volkswagen, started driving, tried mezcal. Down, I mean, and by the way, nobody's making mezcal except families. That's it. That's the only place you get to try it.
Back then.
And even when he went back again in the 90s, went back, met some down in Oaxaca, which is the region of one of the regions of Mexico where primarily mezcal comes from. He fell in love with it, tried to bring some back in the States. They would only let him bring in a little bit. And that's where the idea for Del Maguey came from. And Ron was the guy. Like Ron was the guy who broke through, finally got this. And it's this particular Chichicapa is the mezcal. This is the one, the first one that came to the States. I mean, this is like drinking, I don't know, come up with something.
History.
Else. This is history right here. Yeah, well let me pour for you. And
I'm sweating.
I have done the go down the Baja coast and camp and surf and ride dirt bikes and spread out on the beach and buy fireworks and light them off of cigarettes and chuck them from the back of pickup trucks. Like there's a certain point. Oh, yeah. When you go down, we used to go down all the time with the construction guys because everyone drove a 4x truck and had the motorcycles and the surfboards and a bunch of Topanga dudes.
Oh.
You drive down, you go to Tijuana, then you go to Ensenada, and at a certain point, you just get off the highway and the roads just turn to dirt. And you just keep driving until you find a spot where you just want to pull out onto the sand and just spread out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just get your tequila, stop at some roadside stand, buy a whole bunch of fireworks, buy a whole bunch of cases of Tecate, and just do stupid shit on the beach.
Jenny, you're making a face that I only assume is an amazing face.
Oh, my God. First of all, this
when
tastes,
do we leave?
This Let's tastes this. Nothing like tequila. So, I am feeling very randy.
If okay.
This is amazing.
If I may... When I was in my mid-30s, Christy and I went to a friend's wedding in Zihuatanejo. A beautiful, just, you know... Yeah, we're at
Did
the, end,
see,
of a, at the end of Shawshank, you know.
Exactly.
They say the Pacific has no memory.
Right.
We went out there, and you know, the day before... After the wedding, wherever, like, oh, we're going to go to in town and like taste some tequila or whatever. Like, I don't really like tequila. Like, no, we're going to take mezcal. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. I tried. I'm like, where has this been my whole life? This is what I've been waiting for.
This is interesting.
And again, I alluded to earlier, this is pure artisan stuff. Like, this is being made by a family. This one's made with the most popular agave strain that's used for mezcal is called Espadín.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the blue agave, the Weber, Espadín. This is 100% Espadín, this Del Maguey. And again, it's night and day, right? You're getting that smokiness.
Yes.
This was in the ground. This agave was in the ground cooking with hot lava and wood and whatever else the hell else they threw in there. They crushed it with a tahona wheel. A tahona wheel is one of those, you've seen probably the pictures of the old stone wheel. They got a donkey pulling that thing around in a circle. That's how they make this.
So it's a donkey show.
So,
yeah. By the way, they call that Silicon Valley over there.
Yeah.
That's considered the cutting
exactly.
edge of technology. Don't judge them.
Yeah. So...
The Elon Musk of Mexico actually came up with that wheel, and that is That's a prototype.
The thing about mezcal is this. All of the movement in the agave category is going to be moving towards mezcal. In fact, Casamigos just launched a mezcal.
Of course they did.
Because here's the thing. People know tequila. There are so many brands that are so firmly entrenched in the mindset for tequila, whereas mezcal is still the Wild West. It's still like, who's going to emerge? It's still, they're all little brands. They're all, nobody's going in. Most bars you come up to somebody can't name more than one brand of mezcal.
Right.
Can I ask Dan for your prediction? Do you think the mezcal is going to get bigger? And follow up question: is it going to be like what the Japanese did with whiskey, where it's like, oh, we can do this differently in a more interesting? They can produce it. You know, they have to wait 10 years. They can chemically do it. Or is it going to ruin mezcal?
Well, there are rules, just like anything else. There's rules to how you make it. Now, of course, mezcal is already happening. So basically, what happens is you've got Pernod Ricard, Bacardi, Diageo, Beam. These are the big companies, and they're already buying up everything now, and that's how it happens. That's what happened with tequila. That's what's going to happen with mezcal. And the good part of that is you're going to see a lot more of it on the shelves. The bad part is the stuff that's really the pure artisan stuff which I think with mezcal is so good is going to cost you a fucking arm and a leg to get it.
I will make this comparison. How much is this a bottle?
This is probably over $100 for sure. Yeah,
my God.
So I would say this. Compared to the other stuff we had, it is like the Petey Moss whiskey. Like it's got just more stuff going
on to it.
It's like a different level. Again, like if you're looking for kind of like, I don't know, if you had a random 26-year-old chick to come to your house and have some drinks, you'd probably do the Casamigos, right? Like that would be the safest. Like she's not going to make a face. But if it's one of your older buddies who traveled around and tried it, been there and done that, you'd probably give them this.
It's the most. It's the Casamigos is certainly the most unobtrusive, and a lot of that too speaks to like what are you doing with it? Like you said, let's say you're having a meal,
right?
The Casamigos isn't necessarily going to impact that meal one way or the other.
This
mezcal.
That's the start of the show.
Yeah. You can go, what can I pair this with? Because I don't know how to do that, but a chef might taste this and go, oh, I got the perfect food.
I must say, I've been enlightened. I'm also thinking back to on the beach. Deep Ensenada.
With your $110 bottle of mezcal?
No. We're
chucking like, fireworks at passersby.
We were throwing them out of the back of the pickup truck. But our other guys are in the caravan. But I had a funny moment. I got by the side of the road when we're buying huge fireworks, by the way. Like you think M80s are big. These things are like mop handle. You know, it's like someone sawed off a foot and a half of mop handle and put a fuse in it. But at a certain point, I bought like a big straw bandito hat, you know, and I thought a sombrero. I thought it was really cool, and I was wearing my stupid hat everywhere. You know, back when a hat was something.
Oh, that was your personality.
Yeah, and I was like wearing this hat around. I was wearing it on the whole trip, and at a certain point after like we were drinking tequila, we were like standing by the camp and the trucks and surfboards and everything, and somebody said, hey, Ace, your hat. How'd your hat get over there or something? Like they pointed at it. It was 10 feet away on the sand, and I went, what? Who took my hat? I started walking toward it. It blew up. It blew up. They took an M200. They took an M200 and they put like, they did the fuse on it. So it was like the slow burn on the fuse. Then they lit it. Then they put the hat on it. Then they went and got drunk in me and went, hey, what happened to your hat? By the way, when people are concerned, like that's how you
that's
know. Hey, what's going on with your hat? What happened to your hat? Like you give
that
a shit about my hat.
It means a lot to
and
you.
I was like, my hat, my precious hat. And I started walking toward the hat and it blew up in a novelty way, in that it didn't come off the ground. It just blew a hole, a charred, smoky, black, sooty hole. Just blew a hole in the top of it. It didn't move. It just blew a hole in the top of it. It was all like, charred up.
It was like Wile E. Coyote's hat,
right? And I just put it back on for the rest of the trip. It became
that's good.
That much fun. Yes, I'm going to own it. All right,
I'm not touching that fucking Cuervo.
Yeah, well, we brought
this. Oh, they did bring it in. Yeah,
we brought the Cuervo in just to.
It just looks ominous, doesn't it? It's like, oh, no. So one thing you're going to...
No,
can't
but
see
it, it kind of reminds me like back in the day Senior Frogs. I've been there, too.
I would have bet anything that you had, yeah.
It was the It was the greatest. I think me and Jimmy were there a million years ago for somebody's birthday, like Puerto Vallarta or something. And it was like, you know those moments you can never have? Like, I was on Loveline on MTV, and every chick on spring break. It's MTV. MTV. I was on MTV every single night. Like, every single chick was, like, running over going, MTV, MTV, Loveline,
oh,
MTV.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
It was awesome. And then at a certain point, Jimmy was standing next to me, and I think Daniel said, hey, what about this guy over here, Jimmy Kimmel? And one of the chicks went, oh, Win Ben Stein's Money. My dad loves that show. I was like, it was like the greatest, the greatest. Like you, it's the in your life. Those are the you get like five of those moments in your life. It was great. Like there was a moment where she's like, "Oh, Win Ben Stein's Money," and everyone paused and was like, "Oh, here it comes." My dad loves, and it was like
the highest high and the lowest lows.
But when what I was talking about is like when I met Jimmy, we'd go. We're going to Vegas. We're going to Binion's. They got steak there for $1.99, and like he's a foodie, but in his world that was a deal. And then you get ruined for it, and we got ruined for it with this. So we can't drink the Jose Cuervo anymore because I think we're ruined for it now.
Yeah. But, well, first of all, we should not be drinking this out of these. We should be drinking this out of solo cups. The Cuervo. Yeah. That, no. I feel like it's only appropriate
out of a trash can.
And you'll notice on this spot, well, on every other these tequilas all say 100% agave. This is not 100%. This is a mixto. The Jose Cuervo Especial. It's 51% agave. The other 49 could be
ethanol.
Like exploded sombreros or something. Who knows?
Well, just give up. Just pour half a taste in this
it.
In this red
we're
cup, just so I can
to
just so I can see where I'm at.
Yeah, let's see where if you've evolved as a tequila.
Just
drinker.
That nothing. Don't pour it.
Come
just
on.
Give a little flavor.
All right, we'll take it.
Pass
around.
It around. Uh-oh. Gina's running
Gina
out of the room.
Gina just vomited. Oh, my God.
No.
You don't spit.
That's true. But it tastes like a pet store smells.
It's very, it's like put on the bottle.
Sawdust and hamsters.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like a... Although, that was the best part of my childhood. Is
you know what you're never... No, by the way,
you gotta taste it.
I can't explain it other than that.
I want to try it, too. You know what you're never going to hear on the Adam Carolla Show? Brought to you by Jose Cuervo.
Oh, it's so bitter.
Yeah.
It's just not...
But it's syrupy,
can I
try it? Too.
It's just not good. It's not what we've been drinking.
No.
That's all we can say.
I need some water.
Back to the mezcal.
I mean, seriously. Not to shit on Cuervo, but we are... Can you? I mean, what a dramatic difference between the taste of that, and
was helpful to go back and taste the Cuervo.
Yeah,
all right. Now we totally appreciate what we've
absolutely
just been doing.
You've had
the Brian. Right. Not that there's anything left in your mezcal, but just in case.
How dare you?
All right, let me just hit Geico here. Let's not drink tequila and drive, people. But let's save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, get some high-end stuff, man. Forget the cheap supermarket stuff. Extra money in your pocket at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, we will dismiss Dan. Dan, this has been...
Dan, come back soon.
Way more enlightening than I ever anticipated.
I enjoyed being here as always. Mm.
And by the way, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn is available now on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, and shoot him a tweet at The Imbiber as well. Dan, always good to see you, my friend.
You too, man.
It's fun.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take
you
a break too. And we'll do some open booze talk. All right, we'll do that right after this.
Hey, Corolla Drinks fans, it's me, Lynette. I just want to take a second and thank you all for the support that you've given to us for Adam's Monthly Nut. We are about to sell out of this month's subscription, so hurry to CorollaDrinks.com to sign up for yours. If you do miss out, remember you can get any of these incredible products directly through their websites. You can get Vinny's Ultra Hydrating Salt at PureVitaminClub.com to cure that brutal hangover without the cheeseburger that makes your ass fat. You can also get Country Archer's grass-fed beef and antibiotic-free turkey jerky at countryarcher.com. Be sure to use the promo code Corolla10, that's Corolla10, to get 10% off. And thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Your monthly nut sacks are going in the mail now. Later, Hosen.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, this is Apple, North Carolina. Listen,
I wanted to know if what you thought about slot car racing and if it's good. All right, later.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I did some of it when I was, 13. There was a place called like Circle T or something, and they had, there used to be slot car places with big tracks. The cars were size of a pack of cigarettes, like a little, 20% bigger than a pack of cigarettes, and people would go race them, and you'd have your own little car. And as a matter of fact, the first guy that we're talking about that bought that Shelby Daytona Cobra Daytona that Pete Brock built, the first guy that bought it after it won at Le Mans, won all the races, and it came back here, was a guy who owned a bunch of those. He bought it for $4,500, and he sold it to Phil Spector, the record producer, for like $10,000. Mm. That was a big thing, and now it's $30 million.
We had friends that had the whole slot car track in their basement, so we'd always beg to go over there. Very hard to keep the car from flying off a curve.
Yeah, the track.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Can I say this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I love you guys.
Yeah, I love you guys too.
I know. You get why people are alcoholics, right? It makes everything better.
Everything adds up.
Yeah. Everything's sparkly.
Yeah.
Gina, I've never been so happy that you fell in love with mezcal.
That's that one was
of the
delicious.
Happiest moments of my recent life.
You saw my face.
Yes, I did.
It was like a party in my mouth.
It's was also good. It was all great. Yeah. All right. So let's see. I got a couple things to get into. First, I was watching TV yesterday, and they did one of those, this week coming up on Good Day LA. And it was Germ Week.
Mm, now, your fave.
Time to celebrate.
I just,
do you know what week it is?
I know. Like I'm just saying, like, all we try to do is scare everyone.
Right?
That's all we do. We're so fear-based. It's so insane. I don't think anyone's realizes it. There's so much money to be made on fear.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much. I mean, look, you can sell helmets, you can sell knee pads, but you can sell insurance, you can sell
deodorant. That's the basis of advertising.
Everything, it's all fear-based. Yeah. Like, everything we do is fear-based. Somebody figured out everyone is scared, everyone is freaked out, and there's so much money to be made. There's so much money in eyeballs and clicks and news and, yes, and deodorant and helmets and every...
Because if you don't smell right, that guy or girl won't like you. If your breath smells bad, if you serve the wrong, wine or food, your friends will judge. It's all fear-based.
Spots on your glasses.
Yeah.
Oh. Also, it doesn't make sense. Like, I used to... My mom, she probably still does, but back in the day, let's say 20 years ago, she would buy used cars. And she'd be driving around a Volvo wagon that was 19 years old. And I would say to her, why don't you just get yourself a new car? And she would say, I drive the Volvo because the Volvo's safe.
Mm.
And I'd go, it's safe. It was the safest car on the road in 1986.
Ago. By those standards,
But now it's 2007, and all
things
cars are safer than your safe car because Volvos are known for safety, but a Ford Fiesta that is new is safer than your old. We don't have a proper relationship with safety, fruit wash and all the nonsense. We buy into it. Like it speaks to our superstitious native part of us, and that's where it really sells. Yeah. That's how you really sell that stuff. So they had Germ Week is coming to Good Day LA. Also have a KFC commercial, which I've been watching for a while. And you know me, like I have room for Taco Bell and Del Taco, certainly have room for your In-N-Out burgers and stuff. But at a certain point, food jumps the shark and becomes something else, beyond food. It's no longer...
Some weird version of the thing it's supposed to be.
Like the KFC bowl. All that shit just mashed together in a bowl.
Yes. I think I found something that can't be beat. I think I found something at KFC.
Oh.
And I just don't think it can be beat. And it's not so much what's on the sandwich. It's all the sauce that they pour over the sandwich, which doesn't, it's not helping. By the way, I don't know who signed off on this with sushi and with sandwiches. We take a squeeze bottle of
it's
weird
horrible.
Gooey corn syrup and just all over the top. Like, it's, Wait, we're not eating sushi anymore. Do you have that KFC commercial mix powder? It's also great, too, because it's a commercial, like when The Simpsons parody a commercial. This is how they do it. They have two white kids and a black kid. The girl's got her hat on backwards. All right, they're sitting at a skate park, and they're bored with food.
It's a diverse threesome.
That's right.
Oh, man. I don't want this boring food. I want something with co-branded flavor.
How did dude?
Chester Cheetah, I knew it.
Did someone say KFC Cheetos co-branded chicken sandwich?
Is that a KFC chicken sandwich with Cheeto sauce and also actual Cheetos on it?
It's like two logos in every bite.
Cheesy.
Crispy.
Limited time only.
Colonel Chester, you saved us.
That's one finger-licking good product partnership. Try KFC's new Cheeto sandwich. Whoa.
Now, this sandwich...
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
It is, but this sandwich is filled with Cheetos and Cheeto weird sauce. Orange sauce. Truly, it's like the Cheetos leopard beat-off on the sandwich. Like, I don't know what that sauce is. This thing looks like a full-blown goddamn disaster. Like, I do see... Like, I'll see commercials for, like, Shakey's Pizza, and they'll be eating a piece of pizza, and I'll go, I wouldn't mind a slice of that. This seems insane to eat.
A little inedible. And there's something underneath the Cheetos,
too. Yeah, there's
too.
A sauce.
A big,
a white
thick mayonnaise.
Yeah.
The sauce is called Cheetos sauce.
Oh, that's the Cheetos sauce?
No,
what's the
not.
Other stuff?
No, the orange stuff is Cheetos
there's
sauce.
There's white sauce underneath the Cheetos.
There's a bed of gesso that's under there. And there's Cheetos on the sandwich.
How does this work? They're taking their nod from the Dorito shell taco. From Taco Bell?
I guess.
In the pie chart of consumers who eat this, what percentage is stoners?
Well,
what percentage
high.
Is children?
Yeah. No.
Well,
would allow their children?
No, I mean like young teenagers. Like you saw the kids in the ad. This is aimed at like 13, 14-year-olds, right?
Would Sonny eat this?
Oh.
No. He would go in and out. He would want in and out over this.
That's a good point.
This seems like a goddamn abortion, doesn't it? The piss yellow Mountain Dew in the background just sort of
exacerbates.
Finished. Yes.
So I know the voice of Chester Cheetah, and I'm happy to have him weigh in, though I'm sure he won't. I'm sure he'll sing the praises.
He'll let that go. That's a good
All
gig.
Right. Now, Chester Cheeto or Tungus.
Chester Cheeto.
Who's
Chester Cheetah.
Yeah. Oh, Cheetah, sorry. Okay. Who's or Tungus. Tunga.
Tungus is nauseating to look at.
Yeah, Tungus is off-putting. Chester Cheetah is just kind of repurposed for a new generation.
Tony the Tiger.
Oh, because I watch this and I go... Also, like, you know, they say classical music makes you smarter, and I believe, like, ranchero music makes you dumber. Mm-hmm. There's got to be food that makes you dumber.
Oh, yeah.
This food's got to make you dumber, right?
If not causation, certainly correlation.
That's
sick.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Max Zapata, you have Kevin Costner. We have Phil Eyebrow Waxing Story. What is Phil Eyebrow Waxing Story?
You had an anecdote that we never got to about you going getting your eyebrows waxed and something about Phil.
You can get caught doing something that you're trying to get away with and then get busted, and then it's kind of like, I tried.
Okay.
You know, like there are things in life where
you're walking out of here with a bottle of mezcal.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. We've all had a beer in a club or something or somewhere, whatever, and we like try to walk out with it, and the person went, hey, man, you got to throw that away.
And you're busted in.
You know what you're doing.
There's this place with all these chicks who work along where I walk, Phil. And it's this like beauty parlor. They do waxing. They do all the skin stuff. They do all the stuff. And these are like, there's something about, well, we've talked about it. It's the feminine canine hydration disorder. It's right. Like these are middle-aged white women who go nuts. And when they see Phil come down the sidewalk, they have like an orgasm. Yeah, they're like, Phil! And Phil eats it up. You know, I open the door and Phil goes.
He's strutting.
Goes,
he knows what's going on.
He struts right in. And they're like, Phil! And they like, grab his belly and they start rubbing his belly and Phil's lapping it up, you know, and they're patting his big head and everything. And they go nuts. And if I take Phil for a walk and I go past their storefront and I don't go in, they get angry at me. And if they're like in the next room and I don't tell them Phil's here, they'll be mad. And they don't even like it if I just take a walk without Phil. They want Phil.
They see you alone.
So
yes.
I bring Phil in because they go nuts for Phil. And I bring him in. I take him off the leash and all the women are going nuts, fawning over Phil. And Phil's lapping it all up. And then at some point I go like, I'm going to use the bathroom or something. I go to the back of the place And then I come to the front, and there's the uptight woman who's in the front, who's the customer. Mm-hmm. And Phil's, of course, he's all over her. Yeah, he's not jumping up on her or anything. He's just going over to check her out, say hi. And she does the, could you put your dog on a leash?
Oh, Jesus.
Which is what I claim, too. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be the person that brings the dog in and unleashes the dog.
Right.
Literally. I'm only doing it because these guys love it.
It's been requested.
She's mistaking me for the people I hate, which are the people who go everywhere with their dog and let them run everywhere. She's doing the weird, she has allergies or whatever it is, but she's doing the get the dog away from me. And with the, hey, you don't just go into businesses and let your dog run free. I didn't have time to like explain to her like this is what everyone here wants. She just thought I was the douche that I rail against. All right, we have Costner on. Max Pata just played this for me a few moments ago. He said, "Did you hear Costner on Bill Simmons' podcast?" And I said, "Kevin, Dancing with Brady. That's forget about the Wolves." You should be dancing with Tom Brady. He's a dance partner. That's a suitable dance partner. P.S. Go Pats. So, anyway, Max Pat just played me this clip, which feels better now that I've had some tequila.
Is this your first podcast? Have you done one before?
I did one others.
Who? Oh, Corolla. Oh, that's right. I wasn't mad about that. Yeah,
Adam,
yeah.
No, I've had Adam out to the house, and I wasn't mad.
You guys like cars, like there's
Well, he likes cars. When I told him I had the car, I don't know cars. I just know I wanted that car.
Yeah.
Corolla, on the other hand, goes, and he that guy is special. I really like
he's
him.
The funniest person I've ever met.
I had him up to the house, and he's like, he's just such a solid dude.
Yeah.
Love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what they, wait, do we have the next 30
that
seconds?
Said.
However.
That all said.
I got to play that for my mom so I can ruin Kevin Costner
for
her.
Yeah, she'll hate him now.
He's hit miss. He used to be a fan.
Like Bull Durham.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Kevin Costner. All right. So let's see. Mike Murphy's out there, and he's a political consultant, and we're going to talk politics with him. He's a Republican, I think, but he hates Trump and is very diverse in who he's worked with and what's going on. So perfect times. Work with McCain and Jeb Bush and Schwarzenegger as well. I'm interested in the difference between a Schwarzenegger, a Jeb Bush, and a McCain in terms of do they take – we kind of talked about like Weinstein had fired his legal counsel a few times because I don't think he likes being told what to do or is in.
Do they take direction?
He's not comfortable with sitting down and having someone going, listen to me, zip it, and here's how we're going to do this, because he's the guy who does that all the time.
I have to imagine Schwarzenegger's one of the hardest workers. I mean, imagine just him in 1980, you know what I mean? The Austrian bodybuilder, like, I'm going to be a huge star. No, you're not. And, like, he worked his ass off.
Right. But does he take. Because of that, is he all ears when it comes to advice? All right, let me hit teencounseling.com. Connect your 13 to 19-year-old with a licensed professional counselor where they spend their time on the smartphone. Start with a short questionnaire, then help them understand your teen and their needs. Then they're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials and directly communicate with the counselor. Make sure it's a good fit. Easy and free to change counselors if needed. More affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available. It's a topsy-turvy world out there, people. There's a lot going on with the internet and all this social media and stuff. Your kids need to get their head right. Mm-hmm. Visit teencounseling.com/Corolla and help your teen take charge of their mental health. Mm-hmm. So important these days. Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off the first month at teencounseling.com. That's teencounseling.com/Carolla. All right, we'll take a deep dive politically with Mike Murphy right after this.